Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. In Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 to 10, we have the account of a wealthy but hated man who wanted to see Jesus. As we examine this portion of Scripture, we'll learn that seeing Jesus involves several steps. So listen carefully now as I read Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 to 10. Back in the 3rd century, a skeptic named Celsus made fun of Origen. He was one of the early church fathers. Celsus said, "When most teachers go forth to teach, they cry, 'Come to me, you who are clean and worthy,' and then they're followed by the highest caliber of people available. But your silly master cries, 'Come to me, you who are down and beaten by life.' And so he accumulates around him the ragtag and bobtail of humanity." And then Origen replied, "Yes, they are the ragtag and bobtail of humanity. But Jesus does not leave them that way. Out of the material you would have thrown away as useless, he fashions men, giving them back their self-respect and enabling them to stand on their feet and look God in the eyes. They were cowed, cringing, broken things, but now the Son has set them free." To what lengths will you go to get what you want? I ask myself that question. And then this one, to what length am I willing to go to follow Christ? Whether it's physical discomfort, financial sacrifice, social stigma, or whatever, what am I willing to sacrifice to reach my goal of knowing Christ, of following Him? Our scripture portion today is Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 to 10. It's the story of what one man wanted and the steps he took to get it. I've titled our study, Seeing Jesus, and we'll be looking at Jesus' interaction with a vertically challenged tax collector named Zacchaeus. But listen now as I read the account. Luke is the only gospel writer who records it for us. Here it is. That's Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 to 10. "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus outlines the steps by which all seekers arrive at seeing Jesus. The first step in seeing Jesus is the inclination to see. Now to begin, let's note a few things about the man and his surroundings. Zacchaeus is a Jewish name. It means the just or pure, of which he was neither. He was the chief tax collector for the area around Jericho, which, by the way, it was a very fertile agricultural area. Jericho also lay on the main trade route between Damascus and Arabia. Local produce and any goods that were being transported through the area by traders were liable to be taxed. Now, being a chief tax collector means that Zacchaeus had other tax collectors under him, They were accountable to him and probably depended on him to keep their position. Tax collectors were notoriously dishonest. They usually demanded more than was due, and then they pocketed the difference. So Zacchaeus' position enriched him financially, but it probably left him poor when it came to meaningful friendships. We know Jewish tax collectors were universally despised. They were viewed as traitors to their race. They were part of the hand of the oppressive, occupying Roman government. And they were willing to sell their own people to the Romans and their soul to the devil. Now, Zacchaeus must have heard of Jesus. Reports from his underlings in the field surely would have come to his ears. And Bethany was close by, where you remember Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Surely he would have heard of that incident. Verse 3 tells us Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. Here's the inclination to see. Not necessarily what kind of person Jesus was, but which one he was among the crowd. Now we ask the question, why did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? Did simple curiosity motivate him? Well, I believe it may have started out that way, but the length to which he went to attain his goal points to something deeper. Zacchaeus had a significant challenge in fulfilling his inclination to see Jesus. Because he was short, he was not very tall. Picture him with me, as the text does, trying to push his way through the crowd, only to be repulsed. Being short prevents him from looking over the shoulders of other people in the crowd, so he's stymied. What he does next helps us understand that his motivation was beyond mere curiosity. Curiosity itself is a powerful impulse, but it's controlled by certain proprieties. For example, let's say there's something I'm curious about, something I want to know about another person, but it's not appropriate for me to ask. So my curiosity remains unfulfilled, unless my desire to know is greater than the impropriety. So Zacchaeus did something a rich, dignified, well-dressed government official would most likely never do. He climbs a tree to see Jesus. What would have made him do such a thing? Could it be the long working of his conscience? Or was it the reports Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, how different he was from the religious leaders and the teachers of the day? Or maybe it was the deep, irresistible drawing of God's Spirit. I don't know. But whatever it was, it motivated him to action. Now, Zacchaeus knew there was only one street for the crowd to pass through. So he goes to a lane parallel with the street and runs until he gets ahead of the crowd. Once he reached that goal, he climbs into the overspreading branches of a mulberry tree. Concealed there among the leaves, he has a good view of the approaching crowd. And then he sees Jesus. I ask you, my friend, how deep is your inclination to see Jesus? How determined are you to achieve that goal? Your circumstance is certainly different than Zacchaeus. He had to wait for Jesus to come to his community. All you need to do is turn the eyes of your heart toward him, and you will see him. You can open the Holy Scriptures, or you can go into your prayer closet and meet him there. You know, I find in my life, I too often allow little hindrances to prevent me from seeing Jesus. I like my comforts and my ease. I'm too easily dissuaded from seeing him. You know, Zacchaeus could have looked at the circumstances and said, forget it, there's no way possible I can get near Jesus. But instead, he persisted. Even at the risk of his reputation and his dignity, he went after what he wanted. He took the first step in seeing Jesus, and Jesus met him right there with the next step. Do you have an inclination, a desire to see Jesus? The second step in seeing Jesus is the invitation to see. Now Jesus and the crowd moved up the street till they're underneath the tree where Zacchaeus was. Jesus looked up into that tree, and he saw Zacchaeus, and he spoke to him. Several things in the text give us the idea that Jesus knew he was there all along. Zacchaeus, as I said, wanted to see Jesus. Can you imagine what it was like for him to see this nondescript man whose physical appearance wouldn't attract any attention in a crowd? I'm talking about Jesus, and I'm not being sacrilegious. I'm simply paraphrasing Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2. But when Jesus looked up into that tree, and when his eyes met the eyes of Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus knew Jesus was different than any man he'd ever met before. That face of infinite grace he would never forget. That face looked on him with the welcome of recognition. And then Jesus addressed him by name. "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down from that tree, because I must lodge at your house today." Did Jesus know Zacchaeus before? Or was his omniscience showing through in this experience? I believe Jesus' words give us a clue. Maybe you caught it. He said, "I must lodge at your house today." Ah, this was a divine appointment. It was the kind of appointment that Jesus wants to have with every human being, an invitation to see him. Imagine Zacchaeus, the tax commissioner, scorned and rejected by the people of Jericho. He's being told by Jesus that he is coming to his house. Jesus, the guest, becomes the host. The invited becomes the inviter. It reminds me of John 10, verse 3, where Jesus said, "The good shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. You know, friend, the invitation that Jesus gave Zacchaeus is open to you too. Jesus knew all about this tax collector, and he knows all about you too. He knows your past sins and your failures. He knows the choices you've made that have brought such pain and heartache into your life. He knows your loneliness, your rejection, your regret, and your sorrow. And in spite of all those things, or perhaps even because of them, he invites you to see him, to find the healing that he alone can give. I believe Zacchaeus' desire to see Jesus was rooted in curiosity. But when he came face to face with Jesus, that desire moved much more deeply into his soul and spirit. I don't know how much Zacchaeus understood his feelings. I can only imagine what he was thinking as he quickly shinned down that tree and joyfully accepted Jesus' invitation. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Seeing Jesus. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail, that's M-A-I-L, at heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Seeing Jesus. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail at heraldsofhope.org. That's M-A-I-L at heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Seeing Jesus. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. When you go to their homepage, just type in Hope for Today in the search bar, and you'll find the available teaching. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Seeing Jesus. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.